Okay. All right. Man, it's good to see all you guys here today. Man, is this all I had to do every Sunday? Just I'm actually leaving next week. Would that help? It's really good to see you guys here. What a blessing it is for me to look out there and see you guys. Thank you so much. So these two retired couples have dinner together. And after dinner, the women go off into the kitchen, and the men are talking together. And one of them says, me and my wife have been going to this memory clinic. It's excellent. I would highly recommend it. It's been so helpful. And the other person said, the other retired man says, what is the name of the memory clinic you've been going to? And the man says, He says, you know that flower you give the girl you love? It's got red petals on it. It's got a green stem with some thorns. And the other man says, you mean Rose? He said, yeah, that's it. And he yells into the other room, hey, Rose, what's the name of that memory clinic we've been going to? I've been here for 31 years. That's a long time, ain't it? Man, oh man. And I don't want to say it's a long time, but when I first came here, I had hair. It was all the same color. But like I've told people before, even though it stopped growing on top of my head, inside my head, it's growing like wildfire. Well, you know how I know that? It started to come out of my ears. And you know, they say that when people get older, they actually shrink in size. Now, that's got to be true because I was over 6 foot when I came here. At this rate, I will never die. I'll just fade away. But you know, people ask me why I'm smiling all the time. It's because I can't hear a word you're saying. You notice that the pulpit has gotten higher. It's like I could see the words better. Brother. Well, I just wanted to share. I'm not really preaching per se today. I just wanted to share some thoughts, some feelings, some reminisce about some things, just to kind of talk to you from my heart today. As probably many of you know, I came here in January of 1986 to fill in for 2 months. By the next month, February, I was the pastor. Before I became the pastor, I would come out here from Elmont. I lived in Elmont. And we'd come out here like 3 days a week. We'd come out Sunday. And in those days, we had a Sunday morning service and a Sunday evening service. You know what that means? Two sermons a week. I don't know how that was possible. I mean, I think of it now. It's like, how did I do that? But I came out on Sundays, and then I also came out, I think, on Wednesdays. Come out Wednesday morning, and Wednesday night we had a Bible study. Usually someone took me over to their home for dinner before a Bible study. And then I think I was out here Thursdays as well. And that was kind of brutal, coming out here 3 days a week, back and forth to Elmont. But then I became the official pastor in February of 86. And on my first day on the job, my office was back there in the peanut gallery back there, the overflow area. Hey! Right where, who's, is that Mikey in the over there in the corner? That's probably where I was sitting. That's where my desk was. And I heard this, I had a lot of water problems when we first came here, it seemed like. Because I first day on the job, and I'm hearing this water flowing. I'm thinking, is that the Holy Spirit? I don't know, what is that? And I hear this water flowing, and I'm saying, what is that? I finally go downstairs, and I walk to the back, to the classroom downstairs, right below this room, and it was a miracle. You know, you thought that it was something when Moses had water come out of the rock? There was water pouring out of the light fixture in the ceiling. And I was thinking, that can't be good. So I grabbed a garbage pail, actually, because the water was really coming out, and I stuck it under there. And then I called Fred Stella. Anybody remember Fred Stella? He lived right down the block here. And I called Fred. I said, Fred, there's water. What do I do? He said, well, you shut off the main already, right? Good idea, Fred, the main. That's a good. Where's the main? So he explained, go downstairs by the kitchen, there's the boiler room, the main. So I shut off the main. And I called Sweezy's. That was our oil company at the time. And a pipe had burst in this office in here because of the cold. And the water was going downstairs. And then in the parsonage, we purchased a washer and dryer, my wife and I. And the first time that my wife did laundry in the parsonage, suds started to overflow out of the toilet bowl. That's right, the toilet bowl. And I thought, man, they have a strange septic system here in Suffolk County. And then I had my first baptism. And in those days, we would do our baptisms with the Bayshore Church of the Nazarene. You know, the same pastor that built this building was built by the people attending the church back in 1961 to 63 or whatever. And the same pastor would go to a church where they were going to build a building, and he'd get it done. So the same pastor that had this church built, built the building in Bayshore. Except that because he built ours first, they got all the better ideas. They got central air. They got a place to baptize people, which we didn't have. So we go there to do our baptisms. By the way, do you have any idea what the temperature was like, not only Sunday morning, but Sunday evenings after the sun has been beating on this building all day? We had a big exhaust fan up here that did absolutely nothing, but it was right up there. And I mean, it would be brutal in here. And then finally someone decided that it wasn't really spiritual to have people, and we thought people would be being slain in the spirit, people would be falling on Sunday nights, but we felt it was okay to get the air conditioned. That was a good move. But at first baptism, right, out in Bayshore, and first Larry and Pastor Larry and I would baptize the people in his church that had to be baptized, and then after they were baptized, then we would baptize our people that had to be baptized. And as we're baptizing people, I'm noticing that the water is getting darker and darker, and I'm thinking, is it the sins of the people that is causing this phenomenon? And then I realized I was wearing a brand new pair of black jeans. And they were kind of fading in the water. Oh, man. Where are my softball guys? There. Probably over 20 years ago, I suggested that we join the Suffolk Christian League. We had a teenage softball team, and they called themselves the Mighty Warriors, so we kind of adopted their name, and we started this, we joined the league, probably some 20 years ago. And the team allowed me to play with them, believe it or not, but they kept promoting me. At least that's what they told me it was. I went from right fielder to catcher, then I was promoted to third base coach. And then to first base coach. And then finally to official scorer. But they've always made me feel a part of the team. My son Jesse joined when he was allowed to. I think it was at age 15. He joined the team. And I would play right center. He would play right center. I'd play right field. Do you have any idea how cool it is? You know, the last catch of the inning for the is made probably by Jesse, not by me. Probably called me off and said, I got it, Dad, don't worry. And then you're coming off the field and you're high-fiving your teenage son. That's the best. It's the best. But the team has always made me feel a part. They've invited me to tournaments. We go to tournaments in Pennsylvania every year and other events that they have. They always make me feel a part of the team. You guys are the best. Love you guys. Another thing that I've really, really enjoyed is being a part of the worship team, the band. You know, as a teenager, I was in a band, and I never thought that I'd ever be in a band again. This has been excellent, for me, the best that I have been able to be a part of the worship band and to sing every Sunday, be a part of the band. And once in a while, I played the guitar even. Usually at some teen events that we've had, I've played the guitar and sang. And if you weren't here and you missed out on me playing the guitar, you really didn't miss much, I got to tell you. It's like the story of a pastor who would go to a nursing home with his guitar, and he'd sing to the people, you know, in the nursing home, try to encourage them, you know. And one day he's at the bedside of this elderly lady, and he's serenading her with his guitar. And after he was done, he said to her, "I hope you get better." And she said, "I hope you get better too." Kind of like that was my guitar playing. But I enjoyed doing services over at McPeak's Assisted Living. I've been doing services over there for a number of years. And, you know, before it was McPeak's Assisted Living, it was called McPeak's Old Folks Home. I guess they felt that that wasn't politically correct after a while, and they changed the name. But even years ago, we would go there around Christmas time, and we would sing Christmas carols there. I remember the first time we went there, and, you know, they bring all the residents in, you know, with the usual residence garb that they wear, you know, and they brought everybody in and before we sang, and there was two ladies that were sitting across from us on a couch, and they were, like, dressed to kill. I mean, they had dresses on. I believe that one of them had a hat on, and they had, I'm sure, very expensive costume jewelry, and they were there, and we sang. So after we sang, of course, we kind of mingled with the people. We'd go and talk to them and encourage them. And as I looked, one of the ladies on the couch did this, you know, was calling me over. And so I went over, and then she kind of like wanted me to come down so she could whisper something. And then she said to me, "You know, it's very nice what you're doing here, but I have to be honest with you. Other than me and Mabel here, none of these other residents know what in the world is going on." Oh, man. But the greatest thing, the most blessing I have had, is just being able to be a part of your lives. Baby births and dedications and marriages, and I mean, even deaths. To be able to speak into your life, be able to be a part of your life. And we've been through some glorious times, and we've been through some hard times, but that's been the biggest blessing for me, just being a part of your lives. And we knew without a doubt that God had called us here. There was no doubt in my mind, no doubt in Ann's mind, that God had called us here. And I got to tell you that that was a tremendous blessing to me when things got rough. There were situations that would come, and I'm saying, "Oh man, this could go really bad, or this could go good." And but you know, if I had to say, you know, God, if I had come here because I needed a job, or I came here because I thought it'd be really cool to pastor a church, I would have been scared to death in some of those situations. But because I was able to say, "Lord, you called me here. This is your problem. I know you're with me. I know you're going to help us through this. And I know you're going to work it out for your good purposes." And that was always a real comfort to me. As I said, it was very clear to us when God called us here. And it's been just as clear to us that it's time for us to move on. It's time for a change. And I think we're the beginning of that change. And it's going to be a good change. Good things are going to happen. God's got some really great plans for you guys here. And there's going to be a new pastor. Now listen, when the new pastor comes, you got to give him a break. Give him a little slack. Let him try a few things. You know, some things might fail. That's how he's going to learn. Some things might fail, you know, but just let him support him. You know, you say, "What is he doing?" That's all right. Just support him. He's praying for you guys. He's asking the Lord to direct him and to help him to direct this church. So just kind of, you know, just kind of give him some slack and help him and support him. I was thinking about the Exodus, right? The Israelites were in Egypt, and they left Egypt. And I was thinking about the encouragement that we get from the book, from that story in Exodus. Here's what I got from it. First of all, there's always a need to say goodbye. At some point, you're going to say goodbye It's time to say goodbye. Then the second thing is that we learn from that is don't grumble. Don't complain. The third thing is trust God. You remember that they could have went a shorter route, but God made them go all the way around along a different route. So trust that God has a deeper wisdom in the direction that he might be leading you, even if it's different than you thought you should go. The next thing is move forward in your journey. I mean, there was a point where the Israelites didn't want to move. And God said, all right, let's go, time to go. So there's time to move from your cozy place and leave that cozy place and move on. And then remember, the faithful, caring presence of God goes with you. And then the next thing is, give attention to the messenger that God sends to lead and guide. God sent Moses. God's going to send someone here too. So give attention to the messenger that God will send. And then, even though it didn't work out good for Moses, for us, we will one day get to the promised land. I really didn't prepare a message today. Just wanted to kind of share with you. But listen, I've preached, I don't know, let's say 1,000 messages between here and Valley Stream and weddings and funerals. Let's just say I've preached 1,000 messages. If you have missed any of those messages, there's really only one message I've been preaching. I've been preaching it over and over again 1,000 different ways. And so here's my message. Here's my sermon. Give your life completely over to Jesus Christ. Don't hold anything back. Give him all of it. Let him take over completely in your life. Let him be your master. Surrender yourself to his lordship. However you want to say it, but let God take over completely in your life. Nothing will happen until you make that decision that you're going to just give your life over completely to him. What does that mean? Well, we've been talking about it for several weeks now. It means to love. Love God with all of your heart. Love God with all of your soul. Love God with all of your mind. Love God with all of your strength. And love one another. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's what it's all about. That's what God wants us to do. Remember our sentence that we were trying to memorize, right? In every situation that you find yourself, ask yourself this question. What does love require of me? In this situation, in this relationship, what does love require of me? Because God is love. So it's like saying, what does God require of me? And what he requires is for us to love one another. Because you have two choices. We said it last week. You can hurt someone deeply, or you can love someone profoundly. You can make an influence on someone's life if you just love them. Don't do anything to hurt yourself, because God loves you and there's other people who love you. Don't do anything to hurt someone else, because God loves them and died for them. And don't be mastered by anything, because he is your master. And when you are mastered by something, you'll not love someone else. Remember always, 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 always that in Christ you have everything that you need. And by that I mean security, significance. You're not empty and you've got to get things to fill yourself or find or demand that people give you to fill you. Remind yourself, even when you don't feel it, even when people are making you feel otherwise, you remember that in Christ I am full. God created you. He wanted you to exist. That's how much he loves you. He sent his son to die for you. That's how much he loves you. That's how valuable you are to him. You remind yourself, no matter what you're going through, you remind yourself of that. I know you're with me, Lord. I know you love me, Lord. I'm secure. I'm safe in you. And live your life. Well, I am actually You know, from time to time, I have sung a song here in the church. And when I have, people have said to me, you should do that more often. Well, it was one person, actually, that said. And it was my mother, but... But I am going to attempt to sing a song because this is kind of my testimony. Because no matter what we've been through here, good and bad, you know, God has been with us through it all. And so we're going to try to attempt this. For a while, we were doing devotions before our practices. Our worship team would practice. We practiced together. And we were doing these devotions, and at this time, Kelly was leading the devotions. And one of the things she challenged us to do, I think it was a homework assignment, was to find a song that would be our testimony. And this was the song that I thought would be my testimony. So we're going to try this. Now, I'm probably not going to be looking at you. I'm probably going to be staring at this paper, even though I have the words memorized. Because I'm going to try to get through this for you, okay? I think I'm going to have the words up on the screen, too. We have the words, Frankie, on the screen? Okay, we're good. Shut this off. Should I use this?
Yep.
Okay. Shut the other off. I'll shut it. There are days I've taken more than I can give. And there are choices that I made that I wouldn't make again. I've had my share of laughter, of tears and troubled times. And this has been the story of my life. I have won, I have lost. I got it right sometimes and sometimes I did not. Life's been a journey, I've seen joy, I've seen regret. Oh, you have been my God through all of it. You were there when it all came down on me. When I was blinded by my fear and I struggled to believe. But in those unclear moments, you were the one keeping me strong. And this is how my story's always gone. I have won. I have lost. I got it right sometimes, but sometimes I did not. Life's been a journey. I've seen joy, I've seen regret. Oh, you have been my God through all of it. Through all of it. And this is who you are, more constant than the stars up in the sky. All these years of our lives, I look back and I see you. Right now, I still do. I'm always going to. I have won, and I have lost. I did not. Life's been a journey. I've seen joy, I've seen regret. Oh, you have been my God. Oh, you have been my God through all of it. Oh, you have been my God through all of it.
Italians, you know? You hug everything, you cry at everything. Anyway, we do have a little presentation for Pastor Jerry and Ann that we ordered through the district. Actually, for a donation to missions, the Nazarene Missions International, to get this Distinguished Service Award. And Joe's going to come and read it and present, and then we'll pray.
Hey, bro.
Hey, man.
That was something, huh?
Yeah, that was pretty good.
You know, I was sitting in the back, and I just before I read this real quick, and I couldn't help but make the parallel to like a funeral. Today was almost like a funeral. And you played every part in the funeral. You know, the church is packed. You started out with all the jokes, great uncle coming up and tell all of the jokes. The family sitting in the front row. Then, you know, crazy Aunt Lucy sings a song. You threw the pastor message in there. You had a little bit of everything. But this is not a funeral. This is a celebration. A celebration of two wonderful people that we will miss, that will still be a part of our lives if you want them to be. They still have a phone number. They still have an address. They still are around. And it is a celebration of this church, what they've done in this church, and what's going to be done in this church. Have faith, have confidence that this church will thrive without them. Because as much as he is a part of this church, he is not the leader of this church. Christ is the leader of this church. We are the leader of this church. So the Distinguished Service Award, Patchogue Church of the Nazarene takes pleasure in presenting this certificate, Pastor Jerry and Ann Bonfiglio. Thank you for your many years of dedication, service to our Lord, to our church, and to our community. May God bless you both in your retirement and as he leads you into future ministry. Love, your forever family.
Well, I know better than to ask Ann to come up here, so I'm going to ask Pastor Jerry if he'll go down there by Ann. And all right. Wow. It's a miracle. It took 31 years to get her up here. If I could ask board members and others, if you'd like to come around, but especially the board first, come around and lay hands on them. And the rest of you, if you feel you want to do this, stretch a hand out towards them just to extend your blessing as I pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this time. It was a wonderful time to be together in your presence. We thank you most for Pastor Jerry and Ann. We pray you bless their lives. Bless this next season of their lives. Bless them as they get closer to their son and grandson and family physically so they could spend quality time with them. We thank you for their leadership. Thank you for their love. Thank you for their prayers. We needed it, and they were always there for us. So we pray, Lord, as we send them off with our blessing, that you would send them off with your blessing. Protect them on the road as they drive down now. And God, we just pray that all things would go smoothly in their transition and in ours as well. We love you, Lord. We know how much they love you. Pray that you continue to watch over them, bless them, lead them in this new venture. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.